G'day everyone, welcome to the QSIA podcast series. Today's guest has spent 30 years in the retail wholesale seafood game in the north of the state. His business is NQ Prawn Cutlets, based in Cairns. Can I welcome to the podcast Steve Parsons? How are you, mate?
Yeah, good, mate. How you doing, Eric?
Yeah, not too bad. Look, thank you for joining me. So you bring the post-harvest perspective on this discussion. So can you give the listeners a bit of a sense of your business and how long you've been in the seafood trade? And yeah, we'll take it from there, mate. So over to you, Steve.
Yeah, mate. Been in the seafood game, third generation, for 30 years now. Buying Spanish mackerel for majority of that time. Probably 28 years of it. When we got into the scene of starting to process mackerel by slicing, portion cutting for fish and chip shops, and it just got bigger and bigger and bigger from there, like basically cutting fish mackerel from Weipa to Brisbane, basically moving 40 ton of mackerel fillet a season, you know, which is up to 750, 800K worth of mackerel per season that I'm buying, and I'm just the one buyer, you know, and retailing it out, just a guesstimate of just under a mil. It's going to hurt us big time. Yeah, it's going to be a flow-on effect throughout the whole industry in what we do now, because Spanish mackerel is a big part of our game in our business of processing, not just prawns, but mackerel is over 50%. I've got 14 staff members and we all put our hands on this fish, and we all got a part of this fish that, you know, that gives us our jobs, which is really sad if it does disappear. I've got over 14 local East Coast mackerel fishermen that fish for me over the series of the mackerel season, and it's going to affect them obviously as well. And it just goes down the line on what happens with mackerel. It's a big staple food for every fish and chip shop here in Cairns.
In summary, potentially 14 jobs on the line if the SM fishery shuts down or something happens to it in the future, and not saying it will, but that's a potential outcome. You're saying it's $1 million turnover for just Spanish in your business?
Yeah, correct. Yes, definitely. Okay.
And that money, obviously, you're bringing that money into Cairns, so you're spending it obviously on other things and allied and supporting industry in and around Cairns to do what it is that you do. So the flow-on effect will be not including yourself, and not saying that that's not an important thing, that you will be impacted, but there'll be other businesses that are going to have a flow-on effect if this happens to you. To what extent has Fisheries Queensland or anyone from government reached out to you guys about what's happening in the fishery? Do you get a sense of what's going on, or do you have to ask fishermen, or do you have to go to the department? Like, do you hear this secondhand, or does this come straight to you?
Definitely secondhand. Definitely seeing secondhand information. I'm hearing it even from local customers coming in, hearing it via Facebook and websites. But no direct contact off any fishing department has contacted us and said this is what's going to happen. But yeah, I always hear it secondhand. There's no fish that can pair to Spanish mackerel to be processing. It's a good fish to cut. There's plenty of it. Yeah, you just can't cut it like barra or king salmon. You just can't cut it like Spanish mackerel to get a uniform portion. Mackerel is what we need. That's what we use. And yeah, flow and effect for sure. Like, you know, over 40 ton of fish, I can't keep 40 ton of fish in my freezer. I got to pay to store it. So I store it in certain freezers in Cairns as well, you know, certain storage areas. It's a big deal. You know, we buy cars to transport the fish around, and it's a big flow on effect for sure. It's going to hurt us.
This particular messaging about where the stocks are at came out of left field. Greg, as I said before, suggested that there's something not quite right potentially with the science or the way that they determine the stock status. And add to that those in the post-harvest sector, which is you, so retailers and wholesalers and processors, restaurateurs, chefs, people in that food and beverage game, if you're not finding out, you'd wonder why. This goes to something I've been thinking about for a little while, that when fisheries managers and the department through the minister decide to make it difficult for commercial fishermen to do their job and to fish the species that you know are going to sell and that are staples, not just in North Queensland, but as Andrew Marosh said yesterday, that it's a premium fish in some places now. It's not just a staple. Fish and chip has multiple different markets. How did we get to this point? And if you had a message to deliver to the minister, what would you say, mate?
He needs to wake up. He needs to get to the front line and have a look at what we do, you know, and how many people support us on what we do and how tough we do it. Not just us on the mainland, the boys out at sea too. You know, some of these guys are only a couple of years off their age pension and, you know, that's all they know. That's all they've been doing their whole life. They need to get on the front line and have a good look at what's going to happen. You know, it's going to affect a lot of businesses. I'm not the only one in Cairns that processes mackerel now. There's another three or four other big companies that do this as well and move, no doubt, the same weight that I do as well. So, and that's just Cairns, North Queensland. He's got to get up, wake up and smell the bloody flowers, I tell you.
Yeah, and we're hearing this a lot, and I think it's not good enough to say, well, they can source other fish or they can buy it from farms or import it and sell it through the system. I think one thing that needs to be established in these conversations is that we have a resource here that should be better managed than what it is. Something stinks here. Something's not right. Not claiming corruption. I'm not saying that. I'm just saying, how can they get it so wrong? Who's going to compensate those 40 fishers that can't supply you anymore if they've built their business around catching Spanish as an additional insult to the businesses, particularly in your part of the world where tourism's taken a massive hit because of COVID and you need industries to be strong and vibrant? Who's going to compensate you for a loss of 30 tons, 40 tons of mackerel a year? Stephen, thank you for your time. This has been great conversation. It just gets the message out about what's happening here. And I think what I'm reading between the lines is that, you know, our post-harvest businesses want to supply local seafood to Queenslanders and the rest of the country. It's just difficult to do when we have management in the way that we have it, and the outcomes that are coming from that management would seem to be getting worse on a daily basis. Is that fair comment, mate?
Oh, definitely fair comment. Like Greg mentioned earlier, heads have got to roll. No one wants to eat microplastics from Vietnam and Indonesia and what have you from overseas. People ask to come into my shop, is it local? And I proudly say everything in my shop's bloody local, you know. And it's coming to it that we're importing more and more seafood into our country when it's right at our doorstep and we can't even fish for it.
For those listening, I've been speaking to Steve Parsons. He's from NQ Prawn Cutlets. Steve, thanks for your time, mate.
Good on you, Eric. Thanks, mate.
Thanks, everyone, for following the podcast. As always, more content on the way. We still have a lot to go on the Spanish mackerel issue and this joke of a disgrace of a reform process. So we'll be hitting the air a lot more often, bringing you a lot of different perspectives. And, yeah, sit tight for more podcasting to come. Thanks again.